Thanks, Carrie. Dave. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you that you have given us everything in giving us your Son. And Lord, we pray that you would take these offerings, use them for your glory. We know that it will never repay you for what you have done. They're just a small token of our love for you. Please, Lord, use this money to honor yourself. Lord, I pray that you would have all of our hearts, all of our minds, and all of our attention now. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I am thankful in some ways for gift registries because it takes a lot of the thinking out of giving, whether it be for a baby shower, for a birthday, or whatever. Because you always have those people in life that it's, what do you get so-and-so? What do you get for the person who has everything? Well, compared to anyone else on earth, what do you get for Jesus? He's already got everything. He made the world. He made the cattle on the hills. He made the hills that the cattle walk on. He owns everything. What do you give him? But it's his birthday that we celebrate, and we love giving and receiving the presents amongst ourselves. Personally, I'm in favor of receiving presents, all right? I'm selfish. I'll say it like it is. I enjoy receiving more than I enjoy giving, but giving isn't bad either. But what do you give to Jesus? Because he really has given us more than we can ever repay him. I want to take you back to the book of Matthew in chapter 2 to a story that we commonly know as the wise men. Now, for those of you who like history and so on, the wise men didn't come to the manger. They came sometime in the first couple of years of Jesus' life. We don't know exactly when, but it says this in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him, and they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's not much that we know about these guys, and that's one of the things that I really like about them, because they were pretty important people. We don't know exactly what their position was, but they were pretty important in society. And I think in our culture, if given the chance, they would have liked to have come with fanfare and said, hey, everyone, see who we are, but none of us know who they are. There's a few legends about possible names and so on, but we don't know who they are because it wasn't about them. It was about the one that they were worshiping. And I think that's something that we need to have right off the bat. It's not about us. It's not about us bringing anything to Jesus so that we get attention. It's just about us worshiping, saying, Lord, here you go. We don't even know how many of these wise men there were. We throw around the number 3 because 3 gifts are mentioned. But for all we know, it was a delegation of 30 of them. We just don't know. But we do know something about the gifts that they gave. And we can learn from these gifts as we think about what we give to Jesus. Because I'd like for all of us to think today, what do we want to give to Jesus this year? And we can learn from these guys that we call the wise men. It says that they brought these gifts to Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is traditionally one of the most valuable things out there. Everyone says gold is valuable. And we can learn right off the bat from that we want to bring to Jesus something that is valuable to us. Something that is meaningful for us. It doesn't have to have a dollar value attached, but something that's meaningful. Because Jesus deserves it. He is worthy of it. But there's also something else about gold that we can learn from. Gold is a very soft metal. It's pretty easy to be formed and shaped into different things. And that's really what God wants of us, is that we would come to him and say, Lord, here I am. Have your way with me. Do whatever you want with me. Use me for your purposes and your glory. God doesn't want us to be stiff and brittle before him, because there's not much he can do with that. But when we come to him and we're soft and we're malleable and we say, Lord, I'm here and you can do whatever you like with me. That's like coming to God with gold. After giving gold, the next gift they opened to him was frankincense. Now, frankincense is something that most of us have never heard of other than a few obscure Christmas carols or when people like me stand up and speak about frankincense. Now, frankincense was a perfume, and it was used in the sanctuary of the tabernacle and in the temple in old Israel, and it was very important in the act of worship. And for us to remember, as we look back on this frankincense, we can say, Lord, I want to live my life as a life of worship for you. You see, the frankincense was used as a symbol of God's presence in his temple. And one way we can think of frankincense is to say, you know, I want to live my life every day with a constant awareness of God's presence. Because as I'm constantly aware of God's presence, that God is with me, that's a great encouragement. I am never alone. There is no such thing as one-on-one evangelism because God is always with us. And he's guiding us in the things that we say. When you're a child of God, God is always with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. That should encourage us. It should also challenge us to holy living. Because there's a lot of things we think, you know, if no one was watching, I would love to get away with this. But the fact is, someone is always watching us. He is always with us. And when we live lives of worship, we're saying, God, I am aware of your presence, and I am so thankful that you are always with me. But as I realize that you are always with me, and yes, you're empowering me, you're encouraging me, but if you're with me, I don't want to do anything that would offend you. Why would I have a friend with me and then do something right in front of them that bothers them, that offends them? So as I think of frankincense, I think of worship, and I think of God's presence, I want to live a holy life, a life that honors him, a life that I wouldn't have Jesus standing right beside me cringing at everything that I do. They gave gold and frankincense and then myrrh. And myrrh is an anointing oil, and it too was used in worship services. But myrrh was also one of the spices that was used to anoint a dead person. And that's really not a nice thing to think about on Christmas Day. But there's something that we can apply in that as we think of myrrh. Some would say that this myrrh that was given to Jesus was really kind of pointing to the fact that he was born to die, that he would die for us. But there's something that we can take away in our everyday lives as we think of dying. Because as followers of Christ, we ought to do what he did and put others first. We die to ourselves and we say, Lord, others matter more to me than I do to myself. I'd like to live selflessly. Jesus challenged all who follow him. He said this in Mark chapter 8. He said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. Now, when you look at those verses, you think, do I need to go jump off a cliff for Jesus? Do I need to go do something heroic for Jesus? But there's something very interesting in that passage. When Jesus says, if you want to save your life, you've got to use it. He doesn't use a word in the original language for life that we think of as life. He's not talking about life in the sense that it's eating, breathing, sleeping, and all that sort of thing. He's talking about soul. He uses a different word than what is normally used for life. He's talking about your soul, your being. And the important thing for us as Christians, a gift we can give back to God, is saying, you know, I want to live my life so that when people see me, they don't see me, they see Jesus in me and through me. Because that is the Christian life. Jesus is saying, I want you to forget about yourself and let me live through you. I can do much more than you ever can. And if you step out of the way and stop worrying about yourself, but say, I want to live Christ through me, I'll be able to do great things. And it doesn't matter if you're rich or famous, a great athlete, a bad athlete, smart, not that smart, none of that matters. Because when Jesus is living through us, he is infinitely great. And so he can take any of us, and he says, I want you to die to yourself and let me live through you. Maybe you need to do that for him. You see, what these wise men brought to Jesus, we don't know who they are. We don't know how many of them we were. We don't know exactly when they came. We don't know exactly where they went to see Jesus. But we do know that they knew that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords had stepped into time. And they worshiped him. And when they worshiped him, they gave him some presents. And the presents that they brought to him were the things that were most valuable to them. They bought him things that were soft, that the master could take and form. They bought him things that were to remind us of worship. And they bought him a reminder of death. And those are all things that we can give to Jesus. Lord, you can have everything that matters to me. Lord, I want to live my life in light of your presence as a life of worship, whatever it is that I'm doing, because worship isn't just bound to a church building. And then we can also say, Lord, I want to die to myself. My life is no longer about me. It's not about me getting famous, but it's about me existing so that Jesus can be famous through me. Can you imagine if each and every one of us really live Christ in me? Can you imagine it? Can you imagine Jesus showing up in your offices, in your families, in your workplaces? It would change the world. And it has nothing to do with our ability, but has everything to do with us saying, Lord, here I am. Just take me and do whatever you want with me, because it's all about you. It's not about me. It's not about the gift. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's interesting also that the gifts that were given to Jesus, there's no monetary value assigned to it. You won't see anywhere in the Bible. And these wise men came up and they bought with them $693.42 worth of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I think that's genius in the Bible, because if that was put there, then all of us would think, okay, this life, I've got to give Jesus $642 and however many cents I just said. I'm not a penny more. But there's no value given to it, because it's that which is most valuable. It's that which reminds us of worship. And it's that which reminds us to die to ourselves. And that's what God wants from us. Now, each of you in your bulletins this morning, you should have received these cards right here. And I'd like it if you took just a moment or two to reflect on something that you want to give to Jesus. And we're going to have the worship team come forward. And in just a few moments, we're going to sing. And you're going to have a chance to write on this little card what you would like to give to Jesus. And when you write it down, if you want, you can put your name on it. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But I think there's value in taking the time to write something down and remember what you want to give to Jesus this year. And then you can take these cards and you can drop them. You see we've got little gift wrap boxes by each of the Christmas trees. And you can just come on up as we're singing. All kinds of different things we can give to Jesus. Maybe you say, hey, I want to live a life of prayer. I want to be more prayerful in all that I do. Oh, sorry, the pencils about every third aisle here. So if you need something to write with, grab a pencil. We got you covered. That's in there. Maybe you want to give to Jesus your time. Maybe you want to say, this year, I want to have a better awareness of how I use my time. We waste so much time sitting in front of the TV, doing things that don't matter. But can you imagine if we really lived our lives so that every minute mattered and we treated every minute as it was a gift from God? Maybe some of you have been saying, you know, I've been hoarding my wealth to myself. I've been trying to get ahead and just save as much as I can so I could have as much as I can. But Jesus never told us to hoard wealth. He said, be generous. And maybe you're thinking, I need to be more generous and rich towards God. Or maybe God has blessed you with certain talents and abilities, and you've been using them for yourself. You've been thinking, how can I use this talent to get ahead in life? And Jesus is saying, look, I made you, I gave you this talent to begin with. Why don't you give it back to me and use it so that others can learn more about me? I think one of the fantastic things about Jesus is he knows everything about us, and he still loves us. And some of us might be at a place in our lives where we're saying, you know, really what I need to give Jesus is a bunch of my junk. Maybe there's bad habits you've had in your life. Maybe there's things that you're worried about. Maybe there's something that you've lost that you're angry about. Maybe there's something along those lines that you want to say, Jesus, I am giving this to you. Because Jesus is amazing at how he can take our junk and he can transform it and to use it into something fantastic. Maybe there's something that you've been holding on to. It's an area of bitterness or whatever it might be, something you're saying, God, I'm not going to give this to you. But today you want to say, God, I'm broken. I just give this to you. Would you give me victory in this area? You can give that to Jesus. And as we talk about giving gifts to Jesus, I want to make very clear that in giving things to Jesus, this doesn't earn his favor. This doesn't earn you salvation. This doesn't earn you heaven. You see, these gifts will only be useful to him if we first of all receive his gift to us. And his gift to us is Jesus, the one whose birthday we celebrate today. You see, Jesus was born to die. He was born to die because each of us need a Savior. Each of us as human beings has the death penalty on our head, separation from God forever and ever, because none of us are good enough. All of us fall short of God's perfection. You can give God all the gifts you want, and none of them will be enough to get you back into his good graces. And God knows that about us. And he still loves us. And he sent his son to die for us and then to rise again. And he offers everlasting life as a free gift to you and to I and to everyone here. I would urge you, if you don't yet know Jesus as your Savior, that today be the day that you say, Lord, I believe Jesus died for me and he rose again. That's the greatest gift you'll ever receive. Once you know him as your Savior, then we give him these gifts not to earn his favor, but just out of love and gratitude for everything that he has done for us. What are you going to give to Jesus this year? As the team leads us in singing, you'll have a chance to reflect and you can bring your gifts up to Jesus whenever you're ready.